I want to preach to you this morning, and I almost did it last Sunday because I knew God had put it in my heart. But then the last day or two, God began to deal with my heart, and I preached to you on something different last week on destiny and decisions. But God put this on my heart, and the reason I kind of argue with God a little bit is I've been reading sections of the Sermon on the Mount. God spoke to my heart once again, reminded me of a truth that I'd preached before. And I look back. I preached it in 2015 here. If you've been around in revivals or where I've been, you might have heard it then. But I want you to look with me this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, if you will. And we'll begin reading with verse number 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the field of the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow's cast into the oven, shall he not much more do clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I will leave off the reading of that, not read the last verse, but I want you to go back to verse 25 and listen to what he says. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Hold your place there in Matthew 6. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, I want to read just a verse here to you. And in verse number 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you for the blessed privilege of being in the house of the Lord, the sweet fellowship, for Bible study time during Sunday school hour. Our Father, getting to speak to some of our friends and guests this morning in the auditorium. And Lord, for the wonderful music program that God, you've given to us. Thank you for Brother Brad's choices that you laid on his heart of congregational singing, and especially for the choir. And Brother Danny, God, what a blessing he is. And God, what an anointing to sing the Word of God. And Father, I thank you for them. And Lord, I ask now that the Holy Spirit of God, God would take me and use me and speak through me. Our Father, all is vain unless the Holy One come down. And God, I pray that what said this morning will be lodged in the heart of your people. And God, it'll be a blessing. And God, use it. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brad, a while ago, began to talk about scars. But some of you have scars that you can't see. You have inward scars. But beyond that, we all have problems. Just about everybody I know, just about every family I know is going through problems. We didn't mention our long prayer list this morning, but you keep folks in prayer. Brother Danny Allen is still in the hospital. Joe Berry came home after having a kidney stone move. Brother Dennis is recovering from his surgery. Miss Connie has the flu. And then Andy is at home after his surgery. So we've got people going through things. But everybody in this church and every family member of this church, just about, you go through things. But I want to just share this with you. I want you to get this little thought in your mind, and I pray God to make it real to you. For now to Jesus come, the birds are still singing. You see, as long as the birds are still singing, you don't have anything to worry about. There are 9,100 different kinds of birds in the world, different species. They come in all sizes. There's some tiny, there's some huge. They're different colors. They're on every continent, and they just populate the world. On this North American continent alone, there are over 6 billion birds. They're everywhere. I went out one morning early from the motel we stayed at in Bonifay, Florida, and went down to Hardy's and got me some breakfast and came back and got on the passenger side where I could read my Bible and have room to spread stuff out. And I ate a little bit of breakfast. And then I got to looking out, and there were sparrows, little bitty American sparrows, not English sparrows, there's a difference, but little small American sparrows gathered around my truck. And so I knew, I rolled the window down and I throwed them out some bread, and they didn't fly away. This came right to it. I threw out something else. And I realized that they had seen that act before. That wasn't their first rodeo. And they've had somebody to feed them there. They were there for that purpose, and I'm thankful for it. But listen, you think about all these different birds on our continent. And I said they're all shapes and all sizes. We have on this continent a whooping crane. And the whooping crane stands almost 10 feet tall. That's a pretty tall bird, but it's not the tallest bird. The tallest bird is an ostrich, and they stand over 7 feet tall. And when you think about the different aspects of the bird, the California condor has a wingspread of almost 9 feet, but the albatross has a wingspread of over 12 feet. A basketball goes 10 feet high. So if you turn that bird this way with his wings extended, he could touch the top of the backboard without any problem. You think about that. They come in, I mentioned about their sizes. There is a bird on our continent called the trumpeter swan. And that bird weighs somewhere the average of 38 pounds. That's a big, big bird. But an ostrich can weigh as much as 300 pounds. And you think about that now. And he can run 50 miles an hour. You think about that. Here's a bird that's 7 feet tall, weighs 300 pounds, and can run 50 miles an hour. He could play for the Tar Heels. And you think about that. But listen, I was thinking about that bird. I read this some time ago about a fellow who was traveling up in the mountains, and he was riding along, he and his buddy, on this dirt road. And all of a sudden, a chicken came running past him, just took off past him. And he said, I decided I'd chase him down. And he said, we went 45, 55, 65, and that bird was still ahead of us. And he said, I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, the bird turned and ran up a lane. I slammed on brakes and backed up and pulled up. And lo and behold, in that yard of that old mountain home, there were chickens all over the yard, and they all had 3 legs. And he said he got out and went up, and the old man and woman sitting on the porch and said, we'd never seen like nothing like this in our life. All these chickens have 3 legs. And he said, why are they like that? He said, well, I like drumsticks, and my wife likes drumsticks, and a boy likes drumsticks. And so we bred them this way. They all got 3 legs. And he said, well, that's amazing. He said, how did they taste? He said, I don't know. He ain't never caught one yet. But God blessed these birds. He's given them air sacs and hollow bones. He's insulated them. They could live in the coldest climates you could ever imagine. Ducks and penguins and all those animals. But all the facets that he says about these birds and all the things that we know about them, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say anything about their plumage or their song or anything. It simply says God feeds the birds. God feeds them. You think about that. You say, well, big deal, Brother Billy. Well, here's the thing. As I began to research and study for this message, I found out that birds eat 2.5 times their body weight every day. 2.5 times. I had a lady come up to me in a service one time where I preached this, and she said, Brother Billy, I want to just help you. There's a little something you said that wasn't right. Well, I said, I'd like to know what I said wasn't right. And she said, you said birds eat 2.5 times their body weight. And I said, well, yeah, I saw it in several places. Several biologists say they eat 2.5 times their body weight every day. And she said, well, there's another bird, the penguin. They eat 8 times their body weight every day. And I said, well, praise God, I know some Baptists like that. 8 times their body weight every day. But you say, Brother Billy, you think about these birds. I was talking about how large they are. There's the ostrich that's 7 feet tall, weighs 300 pounds. But down in South America, there's a little bird called the bumblebee hummingbird. And he's not as big as your thumb, but he's a bird. And God fashioned every one of them. And he feeds every one of them. But on our continent, we have 6 billion birds. Well, let's just imagine that each one of those birds only weighs 3 ounces. And we know we've got some doves and some ducks and some geese that would weigh a lot more than that. But if the average weight of the birds on our continent was 3 ounces, That would mean 2.5 times that. That would mean that every day on our continent, God has to provide 3 billion pounds of food to feed the birds. I've never seen one of them complaining. I've never seen one of them in a welfare line. They're still singing. Why? Because God takes care of them. You and I worry and fret. Somebody is always giving me things to go with my bird sermon. Somebody gave me this some time ago. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the father, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as feeds you and me. And my dear friend, God does feed the birds and He takes care of them, and they are still singing. They've sang through every age. They sing in every country. They sing in the daytime and they sing in the night. They sing in the rain and they sing in the sun. They sing in the summer and they sing in the winter. When I was born over in Eastern North Carolina, we were in Eastern, but up in Roanoke Rapids, 1946, as soon as I was able to get out, get around in the yard, my fondest memories of being home around the old home place are birds. I've always loved them, loved to hear them sing. And here we are in 2023, and guess what? They're still singing. They've sang through every president we've ever had. They sang through George Washington and Lincoln and Carter and Reagan and Clinton and all the way through, even to now when Mr. Biden is president. They're still singing. Some of them are humming, but they're still singing because God takes care of the birds. They're still singing because it makes no difference to them. They makes no difference to them who is here. They've sang through every age, the age of darkness and revolution, the age of industry and all the ages that they've talked about, even in this new age of all the technology. Birds are still singing. They just keep on singing through all the storms, through all the hurricanes, through everything that's happened. They are still singing. They sing in the projects and they sing in the palaces. They sing in funeral homes and they sing around the football field. They sing in graveyards or in gardens. And they also sing whether they're caged or whether they're free. They just keep on singing. They just keep right on praising the Lord. Scientists tell us there are 3 main reasons why birds sing. They say, first of all, when they're declaring territorial rights. You may have heard them in the spring, especially chirping around a certain area. They are saying to all the other birds, this is our little corner of the world, and we're claiming this. The scientists tell us they sing when they're mating, when they are trying to get the attention of the other mate. They are trying to put on a show. They sing because they are in love. And then scientists came up with this revolutionary idea. Sometimes they sing just because they're happy. Praise the Lord that you and I have a right to thank the Lord because He loved us. We love Him, and we love Him because we sing because we love Him. We sing because of what He's given us. He's given us a home, this incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away in heaven. We've got a right to sing. Your home down here may be short-lived, but that home up there is forever and forever and forever. And we ought to just keep on singing and praising God. And thank God we'll be in heaven one of these days. I suggest to you some reasons I think they're singing. Number one, they sing because of His person. You say, Brother Billy, you think they know who He is? Why, sure. Several places in the Bible, He says the animals know their creator and they know their master. Not the way we know Him, but they know Him as creator. Matter of fact, He said in Psalms, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything, not just every person, but everything. In my cement pond over at our house that used to be a swimming pool about 5 years ago, it now grows frogs. We have toad frogs, and Jane and Alan get serenaded by our frogs. I even have all kind of toads over there, and they got different, some of them's bass toads and some of them's tenor toads. I had one over there that sounded like a dog barking. And I called the wildlife department. I said, hey, we've got a pond, supposed to be a pool, but it's a pond. And there's a frog or something in there that sounds just like a dog barking. And they said, yes, we have in North Carolina a species of toad called a barking toad. But primarily they live down near the coast. And I said, well, one of them's made a little trip because it's in Benson, North Carolina. He's in my pool, croaking. But listen, you think about it every time that frogs are croaking. He's saying, thank you, Jesus. He's praising the Lord. He's rejoicing. My mama, one time we had a bunch of biddies, and I watched that biddy as he would get a little swallow of water and throw his head back and do like that. And I said, Mama, what's he doing? And she said, he said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every time he took a bite to eat, every time he took a swallow of water, he's thanking Jesus. My dear friend, listen, God has blessed us so. And they praise him because of his person, but then because of his provision. God feeds the birds. God takes care of them. He said, your heavenly Father feedeth them. He provides for them. He feeds them. When we were down in Valdosta, Georgia, and behind the house, we live right next door to the church. So we had a paved parking lot, and our house sat right next to that paved parking lot. And we had great big pecans. That's pecan country. They've got, I know some of you want to say pecan. If you're from above Virginia somewhere, you like to say pecan. But they're pecans. They really are. They're pecan. And somebody came through Val. They got huge just orchards of pecans down there. And they got these big machines that come and shake the tree, and then they vacuum them up and all that business. And out on I-75, there's a guy down near Lake Park, Georgia, that sells pecans and out on a stand, but he ships them all over the world too. And one day somebody from another place stopped and said, we'd like to buy some pecans. He said, I got plenty of pecans, but I don't have any pecans. He said, I got plenty of pecans. And she said, well, I'm sorry, but the correct pronunciation is pecan. He said, well, ma'am, I don't know about you, but last year I sold over $2 million worth of pecans. Do you want pecans? I don't have any pecans. We had four big pecan trees in our backyard, and I mean they were the big kind of pecan, and they were beginning to fall. We had a young guy in our church named Jason. We had 13 acres of land when I was pastoring in Valdosta, Georgia. Had a football field and school buildings and all that business, and Tim would remember it well. And our church bought a Kubota tractor, invested in it, and just to mow the grass, because we had tons of grass to mow. And one morning, I was getting ready to go out, and Jason, a young teenage boy in the church, we'd hired to do the mowing. And he came out, and it was hot. He had on his shorts and his little tank top shirt and everything. And I said, Jason, I said, I want you to mow the football field in the churchyard first. Don't mow behind my house. I'm going to come back, and I'll pick the pecans up. I was gone 20 minutes. And when I came back and pulled up my driveway, I saw Jason with his headphones on. And he was like, he thought he was at the Daytona 500. I'll give you one chance to guess where he was at. He's in my backyard. He was throwing $1.49 a pound pecans every which way, crushing them up and everything. And I waved him down, and I just said, Jason, what are you doing? He said, I'm mowing. I said, I told you not to mow here. I said, mow in the football field first. He said, I forgot. I said, okay, but I was still in the flesh. The next morning, I went in my sunroom behind attached to our house. I sat down with my Bible, my little journal, and I started reading. I looked, and I'm going to tell you, the yard was covered behind our house. That was about every kind of bird you could ever imagine. And you know what they were doing? They were eating freshly cracked pecans. And I thought to myself, well, God, you fed them. But we paid the driver. And he cracked them for him. But he fed the birds that morning, and I felt better about it after that. But God feeds the birds. It's not long before lunchtime. I need to lose some weight. Tim came down here this morning and showed me him and Amanda's wedding picture. And he told me, he said, you had color in your hair when we got married 15 years ago, I believe he said. And I said, yeah, but only than that, I've added a few pounds. So I'm going to go on a diet. Everybody else is on one, I'm going to go on one. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on a bird diet. 2.5 times my body weight every day. In the morning in breakfast, I'm going to have 2 5-pound bags of flour made into biscuits. I'm going to have a gallon of orange juice, 5 pounds of bacon, 2 dozen eggs, 10 grapefruits, a quart jar of jelly, a pound of butter, and 5 64-ounce cornflake, box of cornflakes with milk and a 5-pound bag of sugar on them. I'm going to eat a light lunch because I'm planning on eating a heavy supper. At lunch tomorrow, I'm going to have a salad. I'm going to put in that salad 5 heads of lettuce, 5 pounds of cucumbers, 10 pounds of tomatoes, 5 pounds of carrots, 1 box of croutons, 1 quart jar of ranch dressing. I'm going to have 10 pounds of baked potatoes, 5 pound steak. I'm going to have 1 gallon of tea, 24 dinner rolls, and a whole Carly C's 9-layer chocolate cake. I get to eat like a bird. I get to eat 2.5 times my body weight. And so tomorrow night, I love seafood. And so tomorrow night, I'm going to have seafood. I'm going to have 5 bushel of raw oysters. Now, I know that irks some of you, but I like them. 5 bushel of oysters. I'm going to have 20 pounds of shrimp, 20 pounds of flounder, 10 pounds of hush puppies, 12 heads of cabbage ground up into coleslaw, 5 pounds of baked beans, 2 gallons of tea, and 16 strawberry shortcakes. Hallelujah. Now, several years ago, when I put all this together, I calculated the weight of that big breakfast, that big lunch, and that big supper, and it was only 183 pounds. That ain't even as much as I weigh. And I get to eat 2.5 times my body weight. That means I'll have a midnight snack tomorrow night. I'm going to have 25 pounds of potato chips, 50 pounds of corn chips and dip. I'm going to have 5 2-liter Pepsi Colas. I'm going to eat a whole gallon of pickled pig feet. I'm going to have 5 boxes of crackers. I'm going to have 7 cans of Vianos and 4 cans of potted meat. And I'm going to eat 2 1-pound boxes of Little Debbie oatmeal cookies. Now, I'd like to tell you that that would be my full diet, but it's not. Matter of fact, if I calculated my weight 2.5 times my body weight and take off that 279 pounds, that means I've got 238 pounds of food left over, and I'm going to let Erskine have that, him and Mitchell, because they eat anything they want to, and they don't never gain a pound. Isn't that amazing what God's done? But God takes care of them. He feeds the birds. They sing because of the person. They sing because of his protection. God takes care of the birds. He said in the book of Luke that not one of them is forgotten of your Father. 6 billion birds, and he doesn't ever forget one of them. I was preaching this message somewhere, and a little girl came up to me and pulled on my coat, and I said, "Hey, honey, how are you doing?" She said, "Preacher, you know what you said about them birds?" I said, "Well, I said a lot of things about birds." She said, "But you said your father never forgets not one of them 6 billion. And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, Mama and Daddy's forgot me and left me at church 3 times. I said, "Honey, I hate to tell you this, but I think they're trying to tell you something." But no, I didn't tell her that. But at any rate, that happens. That happens. But he doesn't ever forget us. He protects us, watches over us. I had a friend, he's in heaven now, Brother Paul Arsman. He was a police chief down at Yopon Beach. And we had one of those big hurricanes come up the coast, and it did what they call stall right off our coast. So they had to evacuate the island. And so the whole island, Long Beach and Yopon and all came, they had to come off the island, go back inland, Southport, one up in the country. He said, "I was sitting on the bridge when the last car came off the island. We'd done boarded up our little police station and all like that." And he said, "We left." And he said, "That thing sat up all night long and churned. It never came in." He said, "I got up the next morning and told my wife, I'm going to run over and make sure we don't have any vandalism going on or looting going on up and down the island." And he said, "I rode all over the island. I came back to the police station." And he said, "I got out of the car. I stood there a few minutes and I reached back in. I got my radio and I called my deputy. And I told him, come over here." And he said, "There's something wrong?" He said, "No, you just come on." He said, "We fixing to take the wood off this police station." And he said, "We can't do that. That storm's still out there." He said, I can't help you. Come on." And when he got over there, Paul said, I told him, I said, "Look here." And all over those trees, there was birds everywhere. And he said, "I've lived on this island a long time." He said, "That storm's going somewhere, but it ain't coming on this island today." He said, "Because if this storm was coming on this island, these birds would be gone. God had got a way of getting a hold of them and giving them messages to send them out of harm's way." God takes care of the birds, and he does us as well. But then I also believe that they sing to praise him for a new day and new promises. All those facts and figures, and I've rushed through them because I didn't want to hold you so long. But I do want to give you the message now. Look in Matthew chapter number 10. As long as the birds are still singing, you don't have anything to worry about. He feeds the birds all around this whole world, not just the 6 billion on this continent, but all around the world. But look with me, please, in chapter 10 and verse number 29. Are not two sparrows sold for falling, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That means He cares about you. He knows everything about you. Fear ye not, therefore. You're more value than many sparrows. As long as the birds are still singing, you don't have anything to worry about, because you're more valuable than birds. You see, He didn't give His Son to die for you, for them. He created them. He gave them melodious songs. He gave them beautiful plumage. He gave them the miracle of flight. But Jesus didn't die for birds. He died for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He says in this passage of Scripture that you're more valuable than birds. When I was pastoring in Valdosta, a man named LeGrand Pickles, actually he's been here, he brought me a Reader's Digest, and he said, "Brother Billy, I want you to read this article." It was called The 10-Cow Bride. Seems this man was visiting somewhere in the Caribbean or somewhere, and there was an island. And on that island, they observed a lot of old customs. And one of the customs was they still had to pay a dowry for their wife. That means that when they got ready to get married, they had to pay a certain amount for her to her mom and daddy. And so he was in this place and he heard some people saying, 10 cow, 10 cow, and they were all just laughing. And he went over to the table and he said, what is this about the 10 cow? And they said, go see him. Lots of people go talk to him. He's okay. You go talk to 10 cow. And so he said, I went down the road to the street to the little house they told me about, and I knocked on the door, and this lady came to the door, and she was just kind of a normal looking lady and nothing special about her. She was very pleasant. And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. She said, I know why you're here. He said, people come all the time. And this is my husband. And he began to walk to the door. And he said, come in. And he said, I know why you're here. They call me 10 cow. He said, you see, on this island, we have to buy our brides. And then in America, we give them away. What does that say about our women? I don't know. But he had to buy. And the price was cows. And he said, her mama said 3 cows. And he said, her daddy said 2 cows. The men of the village said only 1 cow. She's not worth 1 cow, just 1 cow. And he said, but you know what? He said, I didn't pay for her what the men of the village thought she was worth, 1 cow. I didn't pay what her daddy thought she was worth, 2 cows. I didn't pay what her mama thought she was worth, 3 cows. I paid for her what I thought she was worth, 10 cows. Nobody's ever paid that much for any woman, but I paid what I thought she was worth to me. And can I tell you, the world may not think you're worth anything. Your mom and daddy may have even given up on you, your family, but I want you to know Jesus loves you. And what God paid for you assesses and it shows your worth. And He gave the blood of His dear Son so you could go to heaven. You're worth His Son. Matter of fact, there's a verse in the New Testament that blows my mind every time I quote it, and I've quoted it hundreds of times here, where Jesus is praying, talking to the Father. And He says, Father, Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Can you believe that God loves you as much as He loved His own Son? And He gave His Son so you could go to heaven and have all your sins forgiven? Do you think if He would do that, He would not save you today? Regardless of what you've done, He's already sent His Son to die for you, and He bore all of your sins in His own body on the tree, and you're worth His Son for Him so you could go to heaven. I hope you'll trust Him today. You're more valuable than birds. But look back in chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. Let me call your attention in this wonderful passage of Scripture once again. And look at verse number 29. I won't read the whole verse, but just skip down and look at the last phrase. Last sentence. Are you not much better than they? You know, you're more valuable than birds to him, but you're better than birds to him. God created everything, every creature, the stars, the moon, the sun, this whole world. He's the creator of everything. But he made it all subject to man in the Garden of Eden. His creation of man in his own image was the pinnacle of creation. Don't let any of the new age people or the tree huggers or the people now make you ever believe that you're co-equal or co-inhabitant of this nation, of this world, and they are equal with you. They're not. I never can. There's some things I can't. I'm not smart anyway, but some things I can't figure out. There are people who will protest the killing of baby seals and even hold up the construction on a hydroelectric dam that would give electricity to thousands and thousands of people to heat and cool their home and to cook their food. And they'll stop production on that because of a little snail darter that they don't want them killed. And they don't want the baby seals killed. And they'll protest and all kind of thing. The same crowd that does that's also the same crowd that votes for abortion and destroys millions and millions of babies every year in America. I don't understand that. But the truth of the matter is, in God's economy, you're better than they are. You're above the creation, his creation. I don't want to see the world polluted. I don't want to see abuse to animals or anything. But God gave animals for food. He told them, this is for you to have. It's for you. You're better than birds. You're created in the image of God. You're more valuable to him, but you're better than they are. Down in Valdosta, I was preaching one Sunday morning, and right along there about where Brother Earl's sitting at, there was a lady in the service that morning, and she introduced herself as she left that morning as Miss Phillips. She had beautiful white hair, gold-rimmed glasses, real thin. And when she came out, she spoke to me and she said, Brother Billy, I enjoyed the services so much. I've just moved here. Me and my husband, we live not far from here. My daughter added on a little apartment for me and my husband. And I take care of him. I'm his caregiver. And so I won't get to come all the time, but I'll come as much as I can. And she came two or three times. And every time she'd invite me to come see her. So finally, I found time to go by. I went down to where she lived at and went up under the carport like she told me to do into a little door at the back. The door here went into the main house. A door right here went into a little apartment. And I knocked on that, rang the doorbell. And she came to the door and she was drying her hands. Her hands had been doing something. And she welcomed me in. Boy, she was just radiant. She was tickled to death that I had come and I was honored to be there. I walked in a little narrow hall and it was just going out that door and there was a washer and a dryer. And I came into a little room and there was a table here with one chair and there was a hospital bed and another small bed. And she said, Preacher, come on. And I went into what was a sunroom. And in that sunroom, there was a man sitting in a chair and he was just almost skin and bones, leaned over. And he too had white hair. I realized immediately that he had had some terrible disease or something. And she walked up to him and she said, Honey, this is Brother Billy. This is the preacher I was telling you about. And she said, Brother Billy, this is my sweetheart. And I got around where I could see his face and I spoke to him. She stood beside him and stroked his silver hair. And she said, Brother Billy, this is my husband. God bless me and him together. We have a wonderful marriage. This was in the 90s when I was talking to her. She said, he's such a great provider for our family and our children. But in 1979, he got pinned between two train cars. They thought he'd die before they could ever get him separated. They thought it just as sure as when they're separated, he'll bleed out and die. But they got it separated and got him on a stretcher and took him to the hospital. He was very critical, didn't think he'd live. Got him in intensive care and hooked him up to all the machines and everything and kept his heart beating, kept his lungs breathing. They came to her after a few hours and said, Miss Phillips, he probably won't make it another hour or two, but we're doing all we can. And she said, well, he's in God's hands. He loves the Lord, and I love the Lord. And she said, he lived a daylight, and he lived a day, and 2 days, and 3 days. And they came to him and said, Miss Phillips, he's not going to make it. And we really just need to go ahead and unhook everything and let him go on, be with the Lord or whatever. And she finally said, I want to wait a little bit. A few more days, he opened his eyes to their amazement. They took everything off of him. And they came to her and they said, Miss Phillips, he's living, but nothing's hardly functioning. He's paralyzed from the neck down. He won't ever be able to take care of himself. He won't ever be able to do anything. We don't expect him to live more than a week or two. Our suggestion is that we transfer him into a facility to where he can die peacefully. And I said to him, nope, I'm taking him home. And she did. And she said, since 1979, every mouthful of food he's ever eaten, I put in his mouth. Every morning I bathe him and take care of all his sanitary needs and dress him. Since 1979, and this was in the 90s, tears began to roll down his face, my face, and her face. And she said, Brother Billy, I don't regret one minute of it. She had no sense that God had been mean to her, God had been ugly to her. She said, you know why I've done that all these years? And I said, why, Miss Phillips? And she said, because I thought he was worth taking care of. Can I tell you that if the birds are still singing, you don't have anything to worry about because he thinks you're worth taking care of. You're his child. He's going to take care of you. Last little phrase is you're better than birds. But let me go back and read verse 26 again. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather in the barn. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. If the birds are still singing, you don't have anything to worry about because he's their creator, but he's your father. When we went to Valdosta, Georgia, we stayed 7 years. Tim and Wendy Moon's the best thing ever came out of Florida. My wife often said, why in the world didn't God send us to Benson Grove before he sent us to Bemis Road? But we had a good minister there. God blessed us. But we just never got settled. In 7 years, we never got settled. Church had already told us we could buy a house and they'd rent the pastoral out and all of that. But we had a good ministry and thank the Lord for it. But when we left, we had animals up there in Reesville where we moved from. And when they opened the back of the truck, when they moved us down there, our tomcat never hit the pavement. He went straight out of the back of that truck and straight into the yard and he was running north from Georgia, going back to North Carolina. I ain't never seen him again. But we had the female cat, and we had some animals, dogs, birds, or whatever. And over the period of time, we got the young'uns. They gathered all kind of little animals. I'd go to the grocery store down there, and I'd have dog food, bird food, cat food, and turtle food, or whatever. And the young lady said to me, you got a lot of animals. I said, yeah. I said, you know why I got those animals? I said, it's my children, grandchildren. They love them, and so we take care of them and feed them. But I said, ma'am, I'll tell you something. If I ever came in this grocery store and I didn't have enough money, if I just had enough money to pay for one or the other, I'd feed my children before I'd ever feed a cat. As long as the birds are still singing, you don't have anything to worry about. That means God's still feeding them, and he'll let the world go and feed you. He's your heavenly Father. The word Father means provider and protector. He's your protector, but he's also your provider. You've got a good daddy. If you say this morning, he's going to take care of you. He'll give you everything you've ever needed. I know some of you think in your days gone there was something. If you didn't get it, you'd die, but you're not dead. You didn't really need it. But God will provide for you because you are his child. And I hope today that you are his child. Brother Billy, why did you preach this message? Well, I preached it today because I felt like God laid on my heart preach it to you again. I know I've gone over a little bit. I'll make it up to you tonight. I'll give it back to you tonight. But in our church in Valdosta, we had prayer meeting on Sunday night before church. On a particular Sunday night, a guy in our church named Danny Henley, he and his wife Susan lived 35 miles from our church, and he came every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, came to every missions conference, came to revival every night. He was a tither, gave to missions, gave to preachers, and just a good-hearted people like many of you are. They wanted to honor the man of God, bless the man of God. And he came in that room and he was radiant. He was rejoicing and crying all at the same time. And he said, "Guys, I want to tell you something before you pray." He said, "You know, we've had 2 years of bad crops here in Georgia. Many of my friends have gone bankrupt. People got so desperate they were stealing tractors and combines and everything else." And he said, I've not had a crop in 2 years. He said, "It's been my life." My son Ty, all he ever wanted to do was be a farmer, and he's getting ready to graduate from high school. My plans is to turn it over to him. He said, "But the devil's been on me all week long. And this morning when I sat in the church," he said, "I was getting madder and madder at God." And he said, "When I left here this morning, me and Susan, I took off home. I pulled up the front door and let her out and said, 'I'm going to go by and look to make sure nobody stole our tractors or nothing.' And he said, I got out of my farm and got to where two big old silos and some of my equipment's out, and I slammed the door. And he said, I walked out there and I began to fuss at God. I said, 'God, why in the world are you doing this to me? Why am I going through all this? All I've ever wanted to do is love you and serve you. God, this farm's been in our family for years. Ty wants to continue farming. And God, why is all this happening to me?' And the devil was right on my shoulder just saying amen to everything I said and more than I was saying. And he said, by the time I got through complaining and fussing at God, he said, I found myself between two silos that were empty. Over there should have been corn and over there should have been soybeans, but nothing in them in 2 years. I knew I was going to lose everything I had. He, every year, rolled about $500,000 in the Farm Credit Bureau to put his crops in, take care of everything, and then he'd pay it back. But 2 years, he hadn't paid it back. And he said, when I got there, I just quit complaining. I couldn't holler anymore, couldn't say anything else. He said, I looked around, and over here at my corn silo that should have been full, there was some old corn, maybe even from last year. But he said there were birds all around that, pecking on that corn, and they were just a-chirping. I looked over here at a silo that was supposed to have been full of soybeans, and he said, same thing, old soybeans around there from last year, year before, and they were just happy as they could be to get it. They were just praising God, chirping. He said, I looked out in front of me, and the honeysuckles and everything was full of birds. Up on the trees and power lines coming in and out of my silo, there were birds up there. He said they were all singing at one time. And by that time, I was standing between the two silos, and it was like a stereo system. He said, I've never in all my life heard such a racket from birds singing. And he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God spoke, and I could hear him just as good as I'm standing here right now. He said, Danny Henley, I know everything you've done for me. I loved you and I gave you my son. I'm going to take care of you. And as long as these birds are still singing, you don't have a thing to worry about. Some of you may get a call before this week's out, and they'll say cancer. Your world will crash in on you. You may have a loved one who's diagnosed with a terminal disease, and the prognosis is they will not live a year or month or week. You may get a call of a horrible accident, or you may have a tremendous financial reversal. And the devil is going to try to beat you up over that. He's going to tell you that God doesn't love you, Jesus doesn't love you. They wouldn't let that happen. But I'm going to tell you, God does have a plan. I don't understand it all the time, but I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But I do know this, as long as the birds are still singing, you don't have a thing to worry about. He's promised you. He's going to take care of you. Let's stand with our heads bowed this morning, all over the building. It's 20 minutes after 12. I hadn't preached that long in a long time. but I wanted to make sure I got it all in. God put it on my heart. Went in Hardy's the other morning in Bonifay, Florida, and I got me a, what did I get? I went ahead and got a bacon, egg, and cheese combo. And the lady asked me a question. She said, is that for here or is it to go? And I told her it's to go. But I'm going to tell you about the message I've just preached. It is for here and it's to go as well. Because you're going to need this somewhere, maybe even before dark today. That God will take care of you. As long as the birds are still singing, you don't have anything to worry about. Whatever tragedy, whatever sadness comes in your life, I promise you, you'll walk out in the yard in the morning or the evening, maybe in the middle of the day, you'll hear the birds singing. And my prayer is that God, the Holy Ghost, will remind you that God's going to take care of you. We ought to love Him. We ought to worship Him. We ought to witness for Him because of that. Ought not to have our hearts broken all the time, down, despondent. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice and be glad. He's your Father. If you don't know Him today, He's your Savior. You're not His child. You're His creation. But the Bible said in John chapter 7 that we only become His children. He becomes your Father by faith in Jesus Christ. If you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll become your Father. I trust you do that. We're not going to keep you long, but I do want Brad to sing a verse of this song. Maybe right where you are, or maybe around this altar, I'd love to see the altar flood with people this morning who thanking God that the birds are still singing. He's going to take care of you. He's been good to all of us. But if you're not saved, I'd love to see you get saved this morning. We won't keep you long. I'll have a prayer and we'll go here in just a moment. But I want to give you an opportunity once again to come and bow before Him and thank Him that He's always met all of your needs. And you'll just testify by faith. He's going to keep on doing that because the birds are still singing.